chapter 5. I'd like to read these 11 verses, preach to you. The young man, I never have a title, except for when I come here. When I come here, folks start asking me for the title.
And give you some room to run.
Amen. That and me would wind up. Oh, and by the way, I have good manners. It's just I had skin cancer cut off my neck, and they decided to go ahead and install a zipper while they were at it. So the back of my neck is one big piece of gauze and bandage, and this is about as tight as that tie can go, and me just not cry. So I do know manners. I just don't have them tonight. But I'd like to read these 11 verses. And they never ask me for a title, but when I come here, all they want to know at my church is, when are you going to be done? That's all they want to know. They don't matter. But I want to preach to you tonight, Lord, helping us from the dark to the deep. And see if the Lord will speak to us tonight and challenge you during these days. And I just tell you, I don't know if it's time for you to be laboring on the dock. And I don't know if it's time for you to launch into the deep. Every Christian here, every church here, every preacher here, every ministry here, it might be time, this might be a season of doing some dock work. Or it might be time to launch into the deep. Everybody wants to launch into the deep. That's why we're in this thing. But you just never know what God has for you. So as the man of God challenged you yesterday morning, I just pray you'd hear his voice. You'd do what he calls you to do. You know it's him when he nudges you, and you'd respond to him. For some, it's time to labor on the dock. But I hope for some tonight it'd be time to launch out into the deep. Let's look at these 11 verses. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, amen, he stood by the lake Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draw. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night, and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. When they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came, filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draw of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. When they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. I do appreciate you being here. I do appreciate the privilege. And I would ask tonight, would you pray? Father, we need your help tonight. We thank you for this church. We thank you for Floyd Rowe that's come to labor with them. Thank you for partners in the ministry tonight. Thank you for friends and encouragers, not competitors, but God, complimenters that just help us. And Lord, I thank you for these two churches, the great history they have of encouraging one another. I pray tonight now as we've read your word that you would bless, you would speak, you would continue that heartbeat of jubilee, God, that there would be a great touch, a great help. We would hear from you. You'd do a great work, God, in settling our hearts into what you'd have for us to do, that we'd hear you and respond in these days. In Jesus' name, amen. You look at this text, I want you to notice it takes place the day after failure. Remember what Peter said? Peter said, we've already fished all night long. Day starts at midnight, they've already fished all night. It's that day, they're already weary. The day after failure. How many of you, after it hadn't went like you wanted it to go, you find those temptations come along? But I'm glad the Bible said these ships were standing. Amen. That's one of my favorite Bible words. It's from the Greek word that gives us the word tarry, dwell, continue, abide. I'm glad I know some people that are willing to tarry and to continue and to dwell and abide even after a night of failure. Hey, I'm just here to tell you, every net you pull in is not full. Every net you pull in doesn't have a draught in it. We pull in a lot of empty nets. And there's a lot of move in our day that would say, hey, those ships could be used for something better. But it was a joy to ride by Floyd Road tonight on the way over here. That's the way I make my way. And you know what? It looked like the same church it was when I went by last time. It was a joy to pull up to Calvary Baptist Church tonight and see that, hey, I don't know how many times the nets have come back full or empty, but they're still dwelling. They're still continuing. They're still abiding. They're still tarrying. They're still doing the work and waiting on God to send the increase and God to fill the net tonight. There's just some things we cannot do. There's some things we have to do. And one of them is to tarry. One of them is to abide. And the Bible said those ships were abiding. They were standing there. They were waiting there. We live in a day in our community, especially when they can't wait to say the church won't work anymore. Let's repurpose it. Let's repurpose it. We'll just find a way to do something else, and when they're least suspecting it, we'll slip the gospel in on them. I'm here to tell you, that's not what God's called us to do. He's called us to preach the Word of God tonight. And I bless the name for folks that'll still do that. And yes, we all want a full net. Yes, we all want to launch out into the deep. But there are days when our most important work is being done on the dock. I don't know about you, but things have changed. We realize we've been through seasons. We've been through setbacks. We've been through hardship. We've been through trying to figure out and navigate the new day we live in. But I want you to know the gospel still works. I don't know much about the situation about this young lady tonight, but I know one thing. The word of God was given to her. The gospel was presented to her. And my friend, it still works. Amen. And all we have to do is still give it today. That's our obligation. That is our privilege. That is our honor to be able to give the Word of God tonight. And we can't change it. We can't diminish it. We just got to continue to present it. And those ships were standing. I'm looking at these vessels. But I'm noticing something with these vessels. The fishermen, if you will, I kind of combine that together. I notice some virtue. Say, what do you mean virtue? Virtues are good or an admirable quality. These men, even though they failed, hey, it's no problem. It's no problem cleaning your gun after you kill an eight-pointer, is it? It's no problem. You want to shine that thing up good, don't you? But when you shoot and miss, or you don't even see one, all of a sudden nobody's that worried about cleaning the gun that day. Amen? These men had failed. But you know what they were doing? They were washing their nets. They were washing their nets. And if you study this out, and you know you've heard this probably, so many great men of God have probably stood right here and preached this very text. You know, if you study that word washing out, it's got two different real components to it. Number one, when you're washing that net, you've got to remove the debris. You drag that net, and it grabs up everything from under the bottom of the water at the bottom of the sea, and it comes in, and it comes into that boat. And you know this, just imagine if you've just got a handful of seaweed and let it sit in the sun for about an hour, you've got a foul odor, and you fill up a whole net with that, and they're washing their nets. They're getting those nets ready to use them again. Listen, they weren't burning their nets and selling their boats. They were getting ready for the next time, and thank the Lord for a church that'll come back in week after week after week and wash the net and remove the debris. A lot of stuff as we go in and out, as a lot of time we cast the net in and out, there's a lot of stuff that gets caught up in it. You've got to remove some debris. You've got to remove some debris from your life. There's a lot of clutter. There's a lot of stuff that'll gob onto you. And next thing you know, you look around, and all of a sudden, where'd this come from? Where'd that come? How did we start doing this? And how did that wind up being part of our life? Who brought that in here? You've got to remove the debris. It just happens. It's not intentional. It's not even always neglectful. It just happens as you go through this world. But not only did they remove the debris, they also had to repair the damage. Those nets drag along the rocks. Those nets wind up getting on different things, and they get hooked and get tangled up. Even on the boat itself, they come apart, and a net with a hole in it's no good. And they have to repair that net. So washing the net has the idea of removing that debris and repairing the damage. And I just challenge you tonight, the difference in being on the dock or launching into the deep, it might be with, are our nets ready?
Amen.
Have we removed the debris in our life? Jubilee's a great time. I thank the Lord for it. I've been privileged to come back in other decades, long days ago, long before I ever stood. And I stood in this pulpit to preach. I appreciate it. But there's a lot of things to do when you come to Jubilee. Any time of revival, any kind of revival, we've got to take inventory, examine. Look at our lives. Look at our ministries. Look at what our goals are. A lot of times we pick up a lot of debris. A lot of times we go through some storms and we have some damage. And we've got to repair those nets. But look at the virtue, not only in the preparation. I believe there was great virtue in the preparation. But I believe the most important part of this whole story is a very little word. A very little word. I believe there was virtue in the preparation, but I also believe there was virtue in the participation. Now look at your Bible and look in verse number three, if you would. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Notice how far he asked him to thrust out. A little. I've been blessed to pastor for a couple of years. And what I find all the time, preacher, is everybody's willing to launch out. Everybody's ready to take that flying leap and launch out. But sometimes that's not the call. Sometimes the call is to thrust out. A little. I wonder around Calvary tonight. I wonder around Floyd Road tonight. I know around New Canyon tonight. There's a lot of little things need to be took care of. There's a lot of little, seemingly little work that needs to be handled before we launch out into the next project, before we launch out into the next ministry. But a lot of times, my friend, you know, when you make up those boards and you print up those flyers and you put together those journals and you order those coffee cups, you don't put little things on there, do you? You put the big things you're going to launch out into. But notice the virtue, not just in the preparation. They had washed their nets. They had done what they needed to do. But in the participation, because here comes the Lord. And of all people, he says to Peter, who kind of had a short fuse, Peter, who always wanted to be at the front and always wanted to be the one who was going to get it done. And he said, Peter, I need to use your boat. Can't you just see Peter? Come on, Lord, I know where the deep places are. Amen?
Amen.
Hey, I want you to join the choir. Don't go there, preacher. I want you to teach a class. Oh, man, I'm going to be teaching the sanctuary class Sunday. No, that's not what I was talking about. We got a little class of junior boys down at the end of the hall. There's not but about two or three in there most Sundays, and sometimes they just one. But they need somebody to love them and give them the word of God. Oh, preacher, I'm sorry. I've had this said to me. Guess when they were elected to teach? They're still waiting. I'm just telling you, I believe the most important part of this story was the little. He talked to the man who was a professional fisherman. He said, sir, I need your boat. And I could just see Peter just, this is it, boys. We fixing to go to the deep water. We fixing to launch out. And don't you imagine about time he was saying, bring up the anchors, hoist the sails. Jesus said, no, Peter,
short right here. Because I need to talk and minister to them. You're going to use my boat? And you're not even going to talk to me? Peter, I'm going to minister to them right now. They're hungry for the Word of God. They're wanting to hear the Word of God. So Peter, if you don't mind, if you go ahead and just launch out a few feet and keep this thing tethered. Watch this boat. You can't just push it out there and think it's going to stay. You're going to have to tether that boat. The current's going to move it. If you don't mind just keeping it tied to the dock and just pushing out right there. And I've got some things I need to do. And then he turns around and begins to talk to the multitude. And I have a vivid imagination. I just see Peter behind him. As the kids would say that, seriously? Seriously? You want my boat? I'm not a shallow water man, Jesus. I'm a deep water guy. I'm just telling you today, launching out into the deep might have a lot to do with your willingness to labor on the dock.
Amen.
And Peter, to his credit, was willing to let the Lord have use of his vessel, not to do great things through Peter, but to get his word to a multitude of people. That was the purpose of that. I just thank the Lord for folks that are willing to do the little things.
Yes, sir.
You'll never have a church. You'll never have a ministry. I'll just be honest with you. You'll never have much of a family if you don't have some folks willing to do those little things that have to be done.
Amen.
You don't have folks that could do anything, but they'll do this thing. Amen. Every church, every ministry, every choir, every group, every Sunday school department's got to have folk that are willing to do the little things. But we find so many times everybody said, it's my boat, we're going to the deep. But Peter was willing. Give him credit. Peter was willing. But watch this. Do not miss this. I listened to Snyder talk yesterday and preach about hearing that voice, getting that nudge, and getting that. Watch this. You watch your Bible. The Bible said when the Lord left off, if you want to outline, there was the vessels, there was the virtue, now there's the voice. The Bible said when the Lord left off speaking, I really got excited over this thing. He had launched out a little, but he didn't go back to the dock and then tell Peter, let's go to the deep. Right in the middle of doing the little thing,
yes, sir.
The Lord said, launch out.
Amen.
Launch out.
Amen.
He was talking to the multitude. But watch this. There is that time when public teaching has ended. And then there is that moment of private speaking. Who is the Lord talking to all this time? Look at your Bible. I don't want you to look at what he said in verse number four. And when he had left speaking, who was he speaking to? Verse number three tells you. He taught the people out of the ship. That we need to have public teaching in the house of God. But we also need to have private speaking from the Spirit of God.
Amen.
And why? When did it come? On the next day? No. When did it come? When they got back to the ship and to the shore and the Lord was saying to Peter, I'm so grateful you let me borrow your boat for just a little while. No, right in the middle of doing something little, the Lord said launch. The Lord said launch.
Amen.
We're in a day. Every church wants to launch. We're so tired of washing our nets and empty nets. We're just longing
We've got an ear tilted just waiting for something. And too many times, be careful right here, too many times you jump into anything. I understand. It is frustrating. It is indicting. It hurts. It hurts. I mean, it hurts like no other hurt I know of than to feel like you're not getting everything done you need to when it comes to your church life and your calling on your life. During those times, you want to, you just, if it sounds good, smells good, if somebody else tried it, you're there, you're gone, you're bought in. I didn't know where this came from. I used to work for Winn-Dixie. I don't know if you did or not, don't know where you bought your groceries, but back in the 70s and the 80s, there's a lot of folks bought groceries at Winn-Dixie. And then Kroger come to town. And then Publix come to town. And everybody, but what happened was, and I worked for them, I can see it from the inside. Winn-Dixie just, man, they had the best steak you could buy. And they sold stuff three for everything, three for a dollar, you name it, whatever. But whatever it was, they did what they did and they did it well. But the Kroger come to town, and they decided one day they're going to haul off and become what Kroger was. Kroger's monstrous stores, man, they had everything. I mean, they had a florist, they had a pharmacy, they had a. You could, if you wanted it done, you'd go to Kroger and get it done. I believe they'd sell you tires back. All Winn-Dixie did was sell groceries. Winn-Dixie got in this thing. Now, I worked there. I was in management with them. Every 6 months, we had a new gimmick. Every 6 months, we had a new gimmick. We just kept thinking we had to reinvent ourselves. Kroger's doing that. We got to do that. Publix is doing that. We got to do that. And whatever they spent money on this week getting us ready to do, by the time we started doing it, they had thrown that out, and we was on to something else. Well, guess what? You've got to drive plumb to... You got to drive plumb to South Florida or Lower Alabama to drive to a Winn-Dixie now. They couldn't figure out what they're supposed to do on the dock. And everything come down the pike, they tried to launch out after. That's just a business model that went bad for selling groceries. I'm telling you, there's too many business models going bad because God's people are taking business models instead of Bible models for the church. I'm just here to tell you, I'm nobody from nowhere. You pull us up on the website, you'll think, why in the world is he even preaching in our church? I understand that. Don't even bother me. I wish it wasn't that way, but that's how I understand that. But I just want to challenge you. Do the little things. Do what God's told you to do. Do it for as long as he's told you to do it. He's talked to the multitude. Peter's standing behind him thinking, you're kidding. But then, right in the middle of doing those little things, the Lord quit talking to them. I said, preacher, when's he going to speak to me? When's he going to speak to me? When's he going to speak to my church? When's he going to speak to me about the next step in my ministry? When's he going to speak to me about what we're supposed to do? I don't know, but while he's speaking to somebody else, you just take time and thank God that he's still speaking and wait, my friend, until he has a word for you. Do the little thing until then. Launch out or thrust at a little bit. A little bit. Boy, we're all ready until somebody says a little. It just goes against us. Preacher, call me when you're ready to launch out the deep. Don't worry, we won't call. God's work needs folks that are willing to do those little things. And in the middle of doing those little things, speaks and says, Peter, watch out. And let go of your net. He's been talking to the multitude on the shore. But they're not going to the deep. They're not going to the deep. They're soon not going to be able to see what they're doing because they're going way out to deep water. I'm just saying, it's worth it to wait on him to speak. Because when he takes you to the deep, honey, it's a trip you'll never forget. Amen. Launch out into the deep. And so while Peter is faithfully, virtuously doing those little things, the Lord says to Peter, launch out into the deep. And then he said, let down your net for a draught. Listen, Peter, this is me. I know Peter's kind of that attitude a lot of time, but I believe it was a great step of faith. I don't believe Peter was defeated when he said it. I believe it was a great step of dependence. Lord, with our abilities, with our knowledge, with our skill, with our diligence, with our enthusiasm, everything we had, we couldn't do a thing with this. But Father, if you told us to do it, we're going to do it today. Amen. How many of you have heard somebody say, we've tried that? That's what Peter could have said. We tried that. But he didn't say that. He said, if it's your word, we'll do it. We failed. We failed just as recently as last night. But we failed, but we didn't have your word. Now we've got your word. We'll do it. I just say to you today, get that word from God. Get that word from God. I got a preacher in our church. He's such an encouragement, but he is such a challenge. He is such a stickler. It don't matter what you're talking about. He'll say, preacher, did you get a word for that? Did you get a word from God about that? What word did you get about that? That's how he did his everything. Everything about his job, his family, and his pastor. He said, preacher, did you get a word about that? Amen. Don't launch until you get a word. Hear what the man of God was preaching yesterday. You get that nudge. You get that you just know it's him. Lord, this is what I need to do. I ain't preached much, have I, tonight? All I preached about is those little things. That's where my burden is. Those little things. My goodness. How many around your church, when you come to Jubilee and you look back, you remember those big services? Remember those days? I've heard some of you reference already. I love to come. I love to be reminded of the things that I've seen the Lord do in these places. I've got on my phone. Someday I'm gonna steal it. Right now it's just on my phone. But I got the video of both choirs up here together singing one of the songs out of the Red Book. And someday I'm gonna have something worthy of putting that music to. And I've got the music in my phone. That's gonna be the soundtrack until someday I ever do something. But until then, I'll just carry it on. I love coming here. I love seeing what God did. But listen, it wasn't those big days if it wasn't for those little things. All through those days. How many of you know about Moses? Moses, we read about 120 years of his life. But have you ever thought about how many days of his life you read about? That's just a handful of days out of those 120 years you read about. A lot of days for Moses. There was only a few launch out into the deep days for Moses. Take every Bible hero, and it's the same way. It was just a few days that we get to read about. A lot of their days are never mentioned. But you do those, you do the little things. You do them right. You do them faithfully. You wash those nets. You prepare. You participate. You prepare. You participate. You prepare, you participate, and then one day when the Lord turns from speaking to somebody else and says to you, launch out into the deep, you'll be ready. You'll be ready. That's all I've got on my heart. We need some folks willing to launch out. But they need to have that voice. They need to have that nudge. They need to know it's the Holy Ghost that said, and so they did launch out. Now watch this, finish it up. Finish it up. Can't leave you right there. You know the story. They launched out. He let down the nets. They brought in a draw. But what happened after that? Don't miss what happened after that. Listen, the Lord could have done anything with these fish. He didn't need their net. The Lord could have had them going across the water, dancing the dance of the sugar plum fairies. He could have done anything. He didn't need their net. They needed that net so they could see the failure of their own strength. They had used that same net and had caught nothing. Now, with God's touch, that same net is bringing in a draught. Amen. We've got to have His touch. We've got to have His unction. We've got to have His anointing. And we can't do it without it. But what are you going to do after you've launched out? I think a lot of times the Lord doesn't call us to launch out, Brother Justin, because He knows what we'll not do when it's over. Look at your text. How's the story finish up? How's the story finish up? What is the value in this work, preacher? What does it matter? Well, number one, it magnified the Lord. The Bible said they were astonished. The Bible said they were overwhelmed. In verse number 8, when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, oh Lord." It magnifies the Lord, but it also manifests us. He said, "I'm a sinful man." God launches you out into the deep. It's not to find out how good you are. It's to find out how little you are. And when God launched him out into the deep, Peter didn't come back saying, "Best fisherman ever." He came back and fell down before the Lord and said, "Lord, I'm a sinful man. Depart from me." Launching out into the deep magnified the Lord. It manifested Peter. It manifests who we are, but it also motivates others. The Bible said that James and John also left their stuff and followed the Lord. We want to launch out into the deep, but then we want to be the same after it's over. And I say to you, if He calls you to launch out into the deep, and He shows you His wonderful power and His mighty, mighty strength, it's not for you to be the same as you were before you left the dock. When they came back, the Bible said, Jesus said, "Now follow me and you'll be fishers of men." This is how you know God's working. Because of their failure, it got the Lord in the boat. If they had caught fish the night before, they'd been at town selling them fish. They wouldn't have been there on the dock. They'd have been selling those fish and getting those fish gone. If they had caught fish, if they hadn't have failed, the Lord wouldn't have caught on their boat. But then when they succeeded, it got them off the boat. Sometimes when God blesses us, we want to stay exactly where we were before. Be careful. Sometimes when He blesses you in the deep, it's because He's got something He wants from you. He's got something He wants from you. They left their boat and followed the Lord. So before you say, "Lord, I want to go out in the deep," make sure when you get back to the dock you're willing to follow. Make sure when you get back to the dock, you're willing to follow. Amen? I just challenge you tonight. I don't know. Churches are looking. Churches are hungry. Churches are wanting to launch. We feel like we've been cramped up since before COVID and feel like we ain't never really got back on our feet yet. We figured out how to make it work, and we figured out how to get by, and we figured out how to do this. But how many of us feel like we've ever really had a good launch party since we got back? We all want to launch, but be careful. This might be your week, preacher. Y'all might launch out into the deep water no one's ever seen before. Might be the week. If it is, you get that word, you go with Him. But if it's not that week, He might just be reminding us about what we need to be doing as we labor on the dock. Remove some of the debris. It's kind of cluttered up around us. Repair some of the damage some of those storms have caused. How's your prayer life? The storm's taking a toll on it. You ought to repair that damage. How's your church life? The storm's taking a toll on it. A lot of churches have completely reconfigured what a week looks like. Some just So many are having to do so many things. How's your Bible reading going? Does it need some repair? How's your testimony, your faithfulness? Picked up some clutter through these days? I don't know. He might be calling you to launch into the deep. He might just be speaking, learn to labor on the dock. Be willing to participate. I'm going to use your boat. I'm going to use your vessel. I'm going to use your vessel. I'm just going to use it to minister to other people right now. You on board with that? You on board with him using you to minister to other people for a while? Might be where he's at right now. But it's all right. When he's done with that, in his time, I believe he'll turn to you and say, launch out. Launch out. I'm going to show you something right here. That same old net you can't make work. I'm fixing to show you. Ain't nothing wrong with the net. Amen. Amen. Little thing. Little things. I don't know how, Ashley? Is that what her? Ashton, I apologize. I don't know how all that went, but I saw during supper, I saw a man of God begin to say, I'm going to do whatever God needs me to do. Be an encouragement. Be a help. And it looks like it was about almost an hour later when we got news of what God has done. Be willing. Be willing. It may not be upstairs. May be downstairs, as the man of God talked about a while ago. Be willing to do those little things. I hope I've encouraged you today. I hope I've challenged you today. And I hope there's just a little bit of conviction about our nets and about the debris and about the damage that's been done through these days. Let's make sure we're doing right on the dock. And I believe the deep's still in our future. I'm going to ask you to stand. I'm going to ask them to come with a song. I'm going to ask the pastor to come, and he knows you better than I do, and he knows what the Lord's been doing. But I just wonder tonight, before we talk about launching into the deep, do we need to labor on the dock for a little while? Do we need to make sure the net's been repaired, the debris's been removed, there are foul odors somewhere from things in the past, needs to be gotten away from, I just needs to be removed, and those repairs made. And then we can see the Lord. Then we can see the Lord use our vessel. Minister to other people. Lord, I'm willing. Use me however you will. And Lord, if you never tell me to launch, that'll be fine. I'll do those little things and have joy serving you and seeing you work. Preacher, God bless you.
Would you come on the first verse that the Lord spoke to your heart as we